It's different today. Someone has displaced people. They're not sitting where I can take attendance from. It's awesome. Good to see new faces. Oh, they're not some new faces. They're just sitting in a different spaces. So I do agree it's good to see those who have overcome surgeries. Welcome. Thanks for enduring. This will be a long sermon. Sorry. Anyway, it is Palm Sunday today. Did you know that in the calendar year? And we're celebrating what's about to be the greatest week. The most horrific things that take place. It's all so familiar, isn't it? Palm Sunday, hallelujah, praise Jesus, wahoo! Is that how you woke up this morning? No, it was like it's Sunday, I gotta brush my teeth and drink my coffee, get to church and endure another sermon. Did you worship this morning as you heard the praises of God working and moving in strangers' lives? Is God real in your life? Man, you should be excited every morning you wake up, like, let me just see you again, God. Move in a mighty and powerful way. We need to prime the pump if we're going to serve Jesus, yes? Because there is one in this world that wants no praise going to him. No honor, no glory, no laud. That's a big word for praise. We're going to look at this day, thousands of years ago. And I hope that it marks your life for eternity. This is my plea. This is my request, God. Let's pray. God, would you go before us now as we enter into your word? Let it speak to us personally, intimately. Pierce our hearts in the darkness. Let us have new understanding that we know and will profess you are God. You are Lord. You are King of Kings. God, I thank you for your word and that we have access to it. And I pray that it speaks to us this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I was a little busy this morning, so I didn't do what I've been doing in the past. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes to find Luke chapter 19 in the Bible. I know some of us have a hard time finding the page. I don't know the page number. I know it's in the New Testament, which is about 3/4 of the way through the Pew Bible. If you get to the New Testament, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you're in John, go back one chapter. If you can't find the New Testament, in the very front of the book, there's an index, and it'll give you the page number. That's where I always find the page. I just didn't do that this morning. So we're looking for Luke chapter 19. And we're just going to be wandering through this book. So I want you to be there so you can see. And by all means, I know some people create or consider the Bible sacred and won't write in it, but I give you the opportunity, even if you're using the Pew Bible, when we come to verses that should be highlighted, take that pencil in the pew and underline or circle the verse number so that the next random person sitting and comes across that scripture, God can speak to them through it. So if we're all there at Luke 19, I just want to preface with a couple of things about Palm Sunday. The events of Palm Sunday are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all four Gospels tell us that crowds of people journeyed to Jerusalem. Why? To celebrate Passover. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, that Passover was a custom of the people in that day, and they were acquainted with it. It was familiar. It's a spring festival, which commemorates or commences on the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Nisan. And it lasts for 7 or 8 days, depending on the calendar you use. And can you say, party? Like, we don't party for weeks, do we? No, we celebrate every day, don't we? Oh, no, just one day a week for an hour. No. Passover was and still is an important Jewish holiday. It was when the Jewish people celebrated God delivering them out of slavery in Egypt. Passover serves as a memorial to the Exodus that took place in 1300 BC. And if I do the math correctly, that was 3,322 years ago, and we're still celebrating that day, this day. Did you ever ponder that thought? God's word has been moving for 3,000 plus years. Why? Because it works. And it needs to be applied to our lives. It's a reminder of how God helped the children of Israel escape from their slavery in Egypt. And how did it come about? By God inflicting 10 plagues on the Egyptians before the Pharaoh at that time would release the Israelite captives. If you're familiar with the count, you know that the last, the 10th and final plague was the one that cinched the deal. Death, right? Death of the first Egyptian firstborns. The book of Exodus tells us that the Israelites were instructed to mark the doorposts of their homes with blood from a slaughtered spring lamb. And upon seeing this, the Spirit of the Lord, who's more recognized today as the angel of death, because we just can't imagine the Spirit of the Lord killing, right? So what did they do to protect themselves from the hand of God? Blood around the doorpost. Historically, the entire population of the kingdom of Judah, that's hundreds of thousands of people, made a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. I say all this just to set the stage for what's taking place on this day, the not yet Palm Sunday. It's not on the calendar yet. It's happening. Imagine the huge crowds that had arrived for the celebration of the Passover. I'm thinking this was an amazing sight. Just try and picture it. So many people gathering to commemorate and celebrate what God had done for them. When we think of this, I try to envision the sights and the sounds, even the smells. What was taking place then? You know, God's word doesn't have to be some book you labor over to read. Try and place yourself in the groups of these people, these pilgrims on a journey. We're pilgrims on a journey, yes? Think of how these Jews traveling from all over the known world, joining together on the route from the Mount of Olives, past the Garden of Gethsemane, to the, Kidron Valley, all the way up to the eastern gate of Jerusalem. They're on this journey together. Place yourself right alongside, bumping shoulders with the young and the old, the rich and the poor, as they walk together in this celebration. Can you almost feel the excitement? Or are you there going, James, what are you trying to paint here? This is Palm Sunday. People are gathering to remember the Passover. You know, when the angel of death passed over the Egyptian firstborn. I know, but if they had taken the action to, they would have been covered by the blood. They would have been protected from the hand of God. The Israelites did this, and they took an action, and they were saved. Passover was a special time, but there's something even more special about this specific Sunday. This was the day that would become known as Palm Sunday. On this day, what began as a whisper crescendoed to a shout. Are you there? Do you have the picture in your mind? Can you sense it? He's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming. I'm thinking maybe it was more than that. With 100,000, 200, some commentaries say up to 600,000 people are joined together. This is a party. Jesus is coming. Do you see what they saw? Jesus passing through, journeying to the temple gates of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And I do that little head burst because it was prophesied before by Zechariah in Zechariah 9:9. That's a whole other book of the Bible. You don't have to turn there. Let me read this verse. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he's humble. Riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. You have to understand that in this time period in the East, kings rode on horses during war and donkeys in times of peace. Jesus didn't come to do battle. He came in peace. Riding on a donkey. Kings and princes and judges rode on donkeys. These were considered noble animals. I guess because they have a mind of their own. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah. How? He was righteous, victorious, humble, riding on a donkey. You know, when God's word is real specific like that, like you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger, and then when some unlikely people go to check it out, and it is, that's what's taking place here. These people were acquainted with Scripture. They read that, and now they get to see it. Do you think they'll believe it? Do you believe what you read in Scripture? Do you believe what I tell you I read in Scripture? Because I'll tell you what, these things make way more good stuff in you when you read it for yourself. Jesus was coming. The king was coming. A crowd of people ran to greet him. And at his arrival, they shouted, Hosanna! That's the Hebrew word which means save now. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. If you're there, Luke 19, 36 through 38 describes it this way. Verse 36 in chapter 19. As Jesus rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When they reached that place where the road started down to the Mount of Olives, you know, that turn there, all of the followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Can you imagine that scene? Thousands in a little train. Who knows how wide the road turns and they start singing and praising God. This was a significant moment in time. It marks the beginning of a series of events that impact this world and every inhabitant of it for eternity. 3,322 years ago it began. Riding towards the city on a donkey, scholars that we are, we see the symbol of a king. Yes, it's kingship. Our Lord is here. And the people and the crowds, as they gathered around Jesus, shouting, singing, praising, and worshiping, did they really understand what they were doing? In the same way we roll out a red carpet for someone important to walk on, as these people are throwing out their garments on the ground before Jesus, did they fully comprehend what he or what was taking place? Who were these people giving their accolades to Jesus? I believe some of the people there were those that he healed. Yeah. There's a really good chance that some of the thousands he fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish were there. Could be that some had seen more than just one of his many miracles that he had performed. Perhaps many in the crowd that day would have heard Jesus preach and teach before. And they would have listened and understood what he had to say, and their lives were changed. They were there. When we keep reading, look at verse 39. It seems as though that there were some in the crowd that thought that the crowd was taking this party just a little too far. We read at verse 39 and 40, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." Jesus replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." You know, there is no doubt in my mind that Jesus knew Scripture. And we should too, because when I read that, I thought of Psalm, I wrote it down, 19, 1 and 2. This is what we read. "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known." That's what the creation does. And that's what we're to be doing. If the people kept quiet, the stones along the road would shout out in claims of joy. They'd be cheering. And on this day, there was joy in the crowd. It was a time of celebration, of shouting and singing and praising and worshiping. Look at verse 19. And we see a different emotion. Verse 41. "But as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began to weep." Do you weep for the lost and dying? For your sisters and your brothers and your cousins and your aunts and uncles and the people at the restaurant and at the post office? Do you weep that they're destined for hell? Preach it, young man. Don't even... That's awesome. Thank you for interacting. Continue reading. I don't know what part of the verse. It's verse 42. "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late. And peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited." You know, I want to point out verse 42 and 42 or 44. I'll call it B. I'm going to dissect this. Listen to 42 and some of 44. "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace, but now it's too late. And peace is hidden from your eyes because you did not recognize it when God visited you." I think that's too true for too many people today. Look, picture this. Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem, surrounded by, for the most part, cheerful, happy crowds of people. With all their singing, with all the excitement, all the joy, he weeps. When you read through the Gospels, the authors paint a pretty good picture of how Jesus interacted with the people. When he saw the sick, the poor, and the hungry, he had compassion for them. Go ahead, read four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll see the life of Jesus unfold for you. There are only two occasions when Jesus wept. Once was at the grave of Lazarus when Mary and Martha cried. Jesus had compassion on them, and he wept with them. And the other occasion is right here in Luke 19, where Jesus looks at the city gates at Jerusalem. So why did Jesus weep? That's one of the many reasons. They didn't recognize him. One reason may be that he knew the future of Jerusalem. This prophecy that we read about was fulfilled 40 years later in 70 AD when the Romans invaded Jerusalem. They killed more than a million Jews. More than a million. Jesus wept because he knew there would be those who would reject their opportunity for salvation. You can be saved today or you cannot be saved today. The choice is yours. He knew that there would be those who would not understand or accept him. I just don't understand it. It's too deep for me. He could see that. He knew that there would be those who didn't understand the purpose of his coming. His purpose for coming this week, fulfilled, we celebrate next Sunday. For years, Jesus wept because he knew there would be those in the world who didn't believe he was the Messiah. I am who you say I am, are his words. They had eyes, but they couldn't see the truth. They had ears, but they wouldn't listen to the truth. The people who were waving palm branches really didn't understand what Jesus was about to do. It's just what they did. This waving of palm branches was what their great-grandparents did after the Maccabees defeated the Syrian oppressors to reestablish worship in the temple. Woo-hoo! We can worship again! That's what their grandparents did. The act of waving palm branches was showing that they expected Jesus to be a warrior Messiah. One who would lead them to victory over the Romans. The error of their ways was, instead of accepting Jesus for who he was, they were praising Jesus for what they thought he would do. He's not a magic genie in a bottle that you just rub and say, God, make my life perfect. Get rid of all the things that hammer me. Make my life simple. And that's what these people wanted. A temporal God. As Jesus came closer to the city, the thought that made him begin to weep is verse 42. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. Do you know the way to peace? When life is just hammering you to no end, you know Jesus is the way. He's your first go-to guy, not the last resort. Jesus had taught, he preached, he performed miracles among these people. Many had been healed by him. Many had trusted and believed in him. And yet there were and are many who would choose to reject him. Instead of choosing to follow Jesus, many would choose to live for self. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's not Jesus. He's coming. He's coming. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People are deceived into making the choice to follow lies instead of the truth of God's word. To this day, many would choose, listen, to die in their trespasses and sins than to have life eternal. Help me understand that thinking. That is the greatest deception, and Satan knows how to do it really good. Jesus wept because he had came to this earth to bring life to all who would turn from the things of this world and put their trust in him as their personal Savior and Lord. Can you associate with his pain? Does what the things of this world do and show and hold break your heart? Do you weep and mourn for the lost? He knew many would choose death over life. He knew that in just a few short days, these people waving branches and singing praises to him would shout out, "Crucify! Crucify him! Crucify him!" Matthew 27:25 tells us the people were convinced to say, "We'll take responsibility for his death. We and our children, his blood be on us and on our children." What were they thinking? And that's the deception that is running rampant through this world we live today. Jesus wept because of those who would never understand the way to peace, real peace, eternal peace. He knew that by rejecting him, people were rejecting the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only one who could save them. God, break my heart for what breaks your heart. Jesus wept because he loved those who were lost. He loved and he loves you and me. He was willing to go to a cross and die so that we could be saved. I suppose I'm preaching to the choir, but are you preaching to the world, choir? Oh, are you talking to me? I can't sing. I can't say, but you can act. You don't have to say a word and people can see Jesus in you. Do you realize Jesus sacrificed his life to give us eternal life? He was a willing sacrifice for all who would believe. In this life, we're given a choice. We can choose to receive him or we can choose to reject him. But I want to tell you this truth. By not choosing, you reject him. That's the God-honest truth. As Jesus came closer, he began to weep. In Luke 19:42, he said, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace." I believe Jesus still weeps for us today. He wants us to have the peace. My hope is that today you will grasp that Jesus gave his life for you. So that you could have eternal peace. He loves you with an everlasting love. But we must accept that love. He can't love me, James. You don't know what I've done. You just don't know. That's a lie. You can't out-sin your Savior. On that Palm Sunday, as Jesus journeyed towards Jerusalem, the disciples didn't know what God was about to do. The disciples missed the real significance of the day, but know for sure later they knew. And we know, we got the story. They didn't. We have to understand, they would have celebrated this feast many times throughout their life. This was nothing new. It was just another day. This is Sunday. It's just another day. This is the first day of the rest of your eternal life, buddy. What are you going to do with it? I think for us, the events of Palm Sunday and the week that follows, with the betrayal, with the arrest of Jesus in the garden, the mockery of the trial, the cruel hours spent on the cross. We know the details, but we just go through the motions of celebrating Easter without allowing the truth of Christ's death and resurrection to impact our lives. It should leave a mark. That man is touched. I am. I love Jesus. And I want you to love him too. Do we really get it? Do we understand that Jesus didn't just weep for Jerusalem? That day, 3,322 years ago, he wept for you and me. Own that. The crowds on that first Palm Sunday wanted a warrior king, one who would bring victory over the Romans. But know this, Jesus is way more than a warrior. He's our Savior. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Above him, there is no other. He came to die on a cross to bring victory over sin and death for those who would turn from the world and make him Savior and Lord. The crowd that day paid no attention to the truth. So have you ignored the truth about Jesus too? King Jesus is the one who conquered death and hell and the grave. Jesus is Savior, Healer, Teacher. He's the one who sends the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who is coming again to get those who believe. If you don't believe, man, you are in severe trouble. The Bible is clear that a day is coming when Jesus will return, not humbly riding on a donkey. He will return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He has paid the price for your and my sin. Where and how? At the cross. He's your Redeemer. He is the only one who can save you. Imagine for a moment that Jesus is standing, well, let's say right over there. Jesus is right there. And instead of looking at Jerusalem, he's looking at your life. Don't look at me. Now imagine Jesus taking a step closer to you. And he begins to weep. He says, how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. How I wish today you of all people would know I have a plan and a purpose for your life. How I wish today you of all people would understand you don't have to be afraid. Come to me. I will give you. He looks at you with tears in his eyes and he says, I forgive your sins, all of them. You're forgiven. How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand I love you. Jesus stands before you this morning. And my questions for you today is, what is your response to him? The most important question you will ever answer on this planet is, what did you do with Jesus? Will you commit or recommit yourself to him this morning? I give you my all. If you're outside the kingdom, will you choose to trust him? Because you can, with your whole life. Look at the promises throughout this book. Following Jesus leads to being changed. Today, be transformed by experiencing his love, his mercy, his grace. Invite him into your life and living. Ask him to forgive and save you. Ask him to lead and guide you in your prayer to him. Because I will tell you, he will make a marked difference in your eternity. The truth is, we're eternal beings. We live forever. Your choice is where you choose to live. I choose heaven. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that we never take it for granted or that it just becomes rote, but that we would stand on it, believe it, trust it, and share it with everyone you allow to cross our paths. Let us not be fearful or timid to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and that you reign and rule and are coming again. God, we thank you for the truth of God's word, and I pray that we hide it in our heart, that what has been experienced today would not be robbed, killed, or destroyed, but that you will protect it, and you will create in us the desire to protect it, to guard our hearts and our minds against what this world throws our way. Let us stand in the power of Jesus' name. And I ask all these things in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen.